Good morning. It is time to get up with the beginning of the frenzy. An NFL owner sounds the alarm. This is going to get crazy, and it starts right now. You'll hear that, and we'll tell you exactly what could, should, and will happen in the most impactful all season of all time. Plus, after the comment he made the other night, is there reason to believe the GOAT is going all the way to 50? All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now from the Seaport. We are busy. Greeny on a Thursday. Chris Canty is here, holding it down, basically blocking out that entire area of the studio from my vision. And he's not alone. We got a good squad we put together for you today, and let's take a look who's gotten up with us early this morning. We got Field Yates. We got Rob Ninkovich ready to hit somebody. And Diana Russini has the insight as we begin looking at what will be the most impactful offseason in NFL history. It's already begun. A change of scenery has already taken place for several big names. You know it by now. The Lions trading Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff and a package of draft picks. Stafford the most passing yards and touchdowns for any player without a playoff win in NFL history. He'll be looking to change that. Carson Wentz, meanwhile, a member now of the Colts. They traded draft picks to reunite him with his old coach Frank Reich, the former offensive coordinator from Philly. Had a bad year last year, Wentz. Led the league in sacks and interceptions, looking to bounce back. And just last week, J.J. Watt with a new home in Arizona. A two-year deal after spending 10 seasons with the Texans. The Cardinals owner, meanwhile, Michael Bidwill, had this to say yesterday about the way this whole thing is about to get nuts.
It's going to be a seismic shift in talent across the NFL. You've got teams that are projected to be well over the cap. You've got teams projected to be well under. You know, I know every free agent or potential free agent out there is thinking, well, they're not going to get released, but, you know, they're going to be a bunch of surprises for people when everybody has to get under the cap and free agency starts. I see a big shift, seismic shift in terms of talent moving around.
Seismic shift. And then we saw this from our Diana Russini yesterday on Twitter, saying she just texted with an NFL head coach about the upcoming cuts and, quote, it's going to be a massacre next week all around the league. So, again, Diana gets up with us early this morning. What are we seismic shift, all kinds of changes. What are we expecting to see here over the next week to 10 days?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be huge news over the next few weeks. And we've already started to see teams get rid of some players right now and make those cuts. So here's what we need to know. It's just the fact that the salary cap has been lowered, Greeny. So now teams have got to make really tough decisions on veteran players usually that don't have any guaranteed money left on their contracts. Those are usually the ones that stand out that are going to go first. Now, the difference between what we're seeing this year and in years past, because a lot of NFL fans say, well, we always see a lot of cuts this time of year. Well, now teams that normally would leave guys on their roster because they could eat a little bit of money, maybe $1-2 million extra dollars, they cannot do that. And Greeny, let's not forget, the salary cap hasn't even been set yet. We think it's around 180. We've been hearing it will go up to 185, but we should get that final answer over the next week and a half, right before the start of NFL free agency. But teams right now, they're pulling their purse strings real tight, trying to get those rosters in order.
Free agency begins, in theory, a week from Monday. That's when the legal tampering period begins, and then the new league year starts on that Wednesday. So, Diana, we just saw a bunch of names on the screen. Give me the teams that should be or we would expect to be most impacted by this.
Well, let's always go with the obvious way to figure it out. You see who's in the red, who's in trouble in terms of their finances, right? You've got the New Orleans Saints. You've got the Atlanta Falcons. These are guys that are in a lot of trouble. You know, I know we've been talking about that Russell Wilson potential trade with the New Orleans Saints, and we all say the same thing when you ask us about it, Greeny. We're like, they don't have any money. They can't pay the guy. They really don't. And when I reach out to those teams that I know are in cap trouble, they all say the same thing, which is, we are not going to be players in free agency, and next week is going to be a bloodbath when it comes to making cuts, because they got to figure out a way to get those numbers down and pay the guys they really like.
Well, look, I'm not an economist, but when I see negative $69 million, even I can figure out that that's not a good situation. Can I get Yates in this conversation as well? Let me get Field, because Field Yates, as I bring you in on this as well, one person's issue is another person's opportunity, right? There are teams that are poised now, perhaps to have very profitable, I don't mean that literally, but figuratively, off seasons here, taking advantage of this, Field. Who do we have our eye on there?
Yeah, no question about it, Grinny. You look at teams like, for example, the Patriots, who are flush with capital this offseason in terms of cap space. This is a team that could have $60-plus million in cap space if they do nothing. That number could balloon if they make a couple of cuts on their own. And let me ask you something, Grinny, that's a rhetorical question. Do you think Bill Belichick wants to go 7-9 again next year? Yeah, we know the answer to that question. We'll talk about the quarterback solution the Patriots have to figure out at some point this offseason. But when you've got teams that are effectively sitting out in free agency, you've gone from, let's say, 32 to 24 teams that are actually spending, and the Patriots have a stack of cash. I know this team was down last year, but I expect them to look a lot different by the time we get through the first wave of free agency. Bill Belichick is ready to spend.
Yep, he's got opportunities to do it in the draft and through free agency with the money. Give me one more, Diana. Give me one more team that's in a good spot to perhaps really increase its situation and its roster over the next week and 10 days.
I just like to win points with you. It's the New York Jets. They're in a great position because they got lots of money to spend. So there you go. There's your free before the day. I'll get tougher on you in the next hour.
Okay, fair enough. Diana Russini, outstanding. Thank you for kicking off the show with that tweet yesterday that really got it going. And so now let's dive into what we are about to see here. Because, you know, on the radio show that I do, I have a feature that we call the green list. And so if we look at the green list, I put together my list of five things here, there, and elsewhere. And for today, I've done a special green list of five things that I think could, should, or will happen in the next 2 weeks. And the first of them is this. The Cowboys need to trade for Russell Wilson, even if it means letting Dak Prescott walk away for nothing. It sounds crazy because it is. But here's the situation. Let me explain it to you. The Cowboys have negotiated themselves into a corner from which they cannot get out when it comes to Dak Prescott. Here's the situation they find themselves in. If they bring him back on the franchise tag this year, and Chris Canty, my former Cowboy, I'm going to start with you with your thoughts on this. If they bring him back this year, they pay him $38 million, and then he walks away for nothing next year, and you lose out on the opportunity, maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to get Russell Wilson if you can do it right now. So that is my thinking. It's not a great situation, but it's not a great solution, I should say, to what is a terrible situation, but it's the best I can think of. What do you think?
Here's what I will say. I'll agree with you that Russell Wilson represents an upgrade from Dak Prescott in terms of overall talent. But when you look at the situation and what it would take to get Russell Wilson from Seattle, the compensation that would have to go back to the Seahawks, to me, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because when you weigh that versus what you would get from Dak Prescott, you know you're going to be on the losing end of that when it comes to draft capital. So to me, based on where the Cowboys are at with their salary cap and with their team right now and that core getting a little bit older, it just makes sense to try to stay with Dak Prescott and retain as much draft capital as you possibly can. They need to figure out how to get this deal done. They need to extend Dak beyond 2021, but I think the best option for the Cowboys at quarterback is to stay with that.
I'll point out again that Russell Wilson's agent on the record gave a list of teams he'd be interested in trading to Adam Schefter, and one of those is the Dallas Cowboys. Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
Well, the big question is, Pete Carroll looks like one of the nicest guys and the best head coach of a player's coach, and you can get along with Pete Carroll. You think that if Russell Wilson wasn't happy with Seattle and his ability to help bring in offensive linemen or his input, you think Jerry Jones is going to listen to Russell Wilson on his input? And you think Jerry Jones and Russell Wilson will just have a great marriage together? When you look at the Cowboys in general, it's basically Jerry Jones making all the moves and being the head coach, being the GM, doing everything for that team himself. So I don't know if that would be a great fit for Russell Wilson to go into Dallas and think that it's going to be better than his relationship with Pete Carroll. Because Pete Carroll, I mean, honestly, he looks pretty cool. I know he's the oldest coach in the league, but guess what? He seems like he's a cool guy to hang out with, right?
I'm with that, but here's what I will say. Every time I look up in that box that Jerry Jones sits in, all of his former quarterbacks are sitting in there, right? I mean, he kept Jason Garrett around forever. He played quarterback for the Cowboys. I think Tony Romo was his closest friend in the entire world. Jerry likes the quarterbacks, and I think he might enjoy giving Russell Wilson some say in all this. Field Yates, what do you think?
So I wish that Russell Wilson's preferred destination, Greeny, weren't the four teams that he picked, because none of them is equipped to make an offer that I think satisfies what Seattle wants. I agree with everything Chris said. Russell Wilson, better than Dak Prescott. The price you got to pay, that's significant. The most that the Cowboys could offer right now in terms of first-round picks, at, right now, is three first-round picks. You are only allowed to trade, at the moment, two drafts ahead. So is Seattle really going to take the 10th overall pick in the draft and then two picks that would project to be somewhere in the 20s, maybe even the late 20s from Dallas? The answer is probably not. Is he an upgrade? Yes. Is it realistic? Most likely not. And I know that Dak and the contract situation has been an absolute roller coaster for the Cowboys. I do think sometimes, though, Greeny, we lose some of the context about Dak Prescott and how much he's meant to the Cowboys. So having Dak as your long-term answer for Dallas, to me, is not some dramatic consolation prize. I really do believe if there's middle ground to find, the Cowboys are in a good spot going forward.
I don't think so. I don't think Dak has given no indication he's interested in any middle ground. And his, the beginning, the asking price, the basement, is $38 million because that's what he's getting paid this year. I don't see how they figure this out with Dak. This is much less about Dak to me than it is about the contract. Okay, my list of the things that could, should, and will happen this offseason. Let's get next to the Chicago Bears. They have a ton of questions at quarterback. Generally speaking, they've had them for 101 years since they were the Decatur Staleys. And they finally need to get their answer. Right now, Ryan Pace should be on the phone with Nick Cazario in Houston. And he should be saying the following. You know you're going to have to trade him eventually. You can say whatever you want, but you are trading Deshaun Watson. You have, in fact, already traded him. You just don't know it yet. So before all these other teams start figuring out who their quarterbacks are going to be and you lose your leverage, here's my best offer. Let's make this deal today. The Chicago Bears and Houston Texans should make a deal to bring Deshaun Watson to the Bears immediately. Rob Ninkovich from Chicago, what do you think?
Greeny, I love it. I love it. And yes, I agree with you. They need to move on from, he's a young quarterback. I get it. He's a very young quarterback. He could be your franchise quarterback for the next 10 years. But when you have that, I guess it's just bad chemistry, that it would trickle down to the rest of the team. You have to think about what that sends the message to the rest of the team. They're not even saying his name. They're not even calling him Deshaun Watson. They're saying the player. So that's kind of disrespectful in itself. And if you continue to drag this thing on, you get into the say training camp and he's not reporting, it's just going to make the whole thing poor for the rest of the team. So trade him, get as much as you can, and start fresh. Hit the reset button, get as much as you can for the young player.
What do you think, Canty?
Greeny, this would all be so much simpler had Ryan Pace, their general manager, done the right thing in 2017 and drafted Deshaun Watson rather than go with Mitch Trubisky. But ultimately, this is about the job security of the general manager and the head coach. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, they don't have a whole lot of time. They backdoored their way into the postseason this past year because the NFC West cannibalized themselves, the NFC South was top-heavy, and the NFC East was historically bad. So I don't know that Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles' quarterback play is going to put you in a position where you can get back to the postseason. So I think you got to try to find an upgrade, and Deshaun Watson is the upgrade of all upgrades this offseason. If you can make the deal happen, then go ahead and leverage the organization to the hill and send that compensation to Houston and make the trade.
Did you see that note that Hembo put up there? They're the only franchise to never have a 4,000-yard passer. They are a founding franchise of the National Football League. They have been around as long as the sport has been played. Field Yates, what do you think of this one?
Greeny, if this trade ever came to life, the minute Shefty tweeted it, Deshaun Watson becomes the greatest quarterback in Bears franchise history. So far on your list, I've semi-agree with a couple of the ideas. If anybody disagrees with the idea that the Bears need to be all in to the max on Deshaun Watson, then they are just ignoring facts or they are a Packers fan. That's the only way that you wouldn't be on board with this proposed trade.
I would say that candidly, that just the fact we are talking about this is already the best thing that's ever happened to the Bears quarterback situation their history. Very quickly, Field, how does it work? I mean, how does the deal sound as far as that's concerned? The Bears don't have. We keep talking about the Jets have all these picks. The Dolphins have all these picks. The Bears are not in that kind of situation. Can they make a deal that the Texans will be able to live with?
Yeah, they're going to have to do this, Greeny. Three first-round picks. And they're going to have to find any appealing young player in a rookie contract on their roster and say, Houston, does this player appeal to you? Jalen Johnson, their second-round pick last year out of Utah, good young cornerback. That's the kind of capital you're going to have to be looking at. Three first-round picks, multiple second-round picks, and multiple starters on rookie contracts. Otherwise, it's a non-starter for Houston. But if I'm Ryan Pace, I'm not taking no for an answer. I am calling Nick Caserio every hour of the day until a deal is done with Deshaun Watson one way or another.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it's worth reminding again, the Bears and Ryan Pace did bypass not only Deshaun Watson, but also Patrick Mahomes in that draft that year to trade up to take Mitchell Trubisky. Okay, my next on my green list of things that could, should, or will happen this offseason is that I've come to the conclusion the New York Jets should try one more season with Sam Darnold as their quarterback and trade the number two pick in this draft. Sam Darnold has never been surrounded by anything that would give a quarterback a chance to succeed. He's had terrible coaching. He's had terrible talent around him. He's had no opportunity whatsoever to succeed. And here's further reason why I am somewhat skeptical of the Jets taking a quarterback in this draft. Mel Kiper, in responding to a question on a mailbag, was asked to look at this year's draft class and last year's. And outside of Trevor Lawrence, he likes all of last year's quarterbacks better than all of this year's. So if Zach Wilson, who was the presumptive number two pick, is at best a 50-50 proposition, I think so is Darnold. And you could get a king's ransom for that second pick. Now, Chris Canty hosts a local talk show in New York City on ESPN New York. And the second I said this, I saw your head go like this.
Yeah, Greeny.
So go ahead, why?
My mind is about to explode because I thought you were with me with the Jets taking a quarterback with the second overall pick. My biggest thing with Sam Darnold is we come up with all of these excuses, and maybe there are more reasons as to why he hasn't had success in his first 3 years with the Jets. But those reasons don't help you figure out whether or not he can play quarterback in the NFL. And that's the biggest thing. Like the value proposition that you have with the second overall pick, the Jets can take the chance on the potential of Zach Wilson, a guy that we haven't seen fail in the NFL, versus rolling the dice with Sam Darnold again and betting that Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas can get him fixed. I just think it's too big of a risk for Joe Douglas to take. Everybody recognizes that he's not. Sam Darnold is not Joe Douglas's quarterback. He didn't draft him. But the minute that he passes on taking a quarterback with the second overall pick, Sam Darnold and Joe Douglas are married together.
Can I just say this, though, in terms of compensation? Hembo sent this to me, so I'm reading this off of my phone because we were talking about this. The last time a team traded for the second pick in the draft, the Cleveland Browns, in exchange in that deal that turned out to be Carson Wentz, the Browns got two ones, a two, a three, and a four. That's the value of the second pick. So if you're the Jets, would you rather have Sam Darnold and something like that or the 50-50 proposition that is the kid in the draft?
No, I would go with the 50-50 proposition because quarterback is the most important position in the sport. It's the most important position in all of team sports. If you don't have a quarterback, it's hard to win in the National Football League. The Cleveland Browns didn't start winning until they figured out the issue of quarterback with Baker Mayfield. So that just speaks to the importance of the position. If you don't have a quarterback, it's going to be hard to win. The Jets got to find a quarterback. I don't think Sam Darnold is the answer.
Okay, you're much bigger than me, so I'm going to stop yelling at you and let me go over here to Field Yates, who is the only person I know who's not bigger than me. Yates, what do you think of this?
First of all, Greeny, I've been working out, so don't get too confident over there. But, Greeny, it took the Browns 4 years to get to the playoffs after making that trade, which also included multiple head coach and general manager trades changes. I want you, Greeny, to enjoy your Sundays on the couch with your son. I want you to have something to look forward to when you watch Jets football games on Sunday. The Jets need to trade or make a move at number two for a quarterback and then figure out whatever it is with Sam Darnold. Trading him away or keeping him on the roster as a backup, which seems unlikely. You need to restart the clock here. Sam Darnold is 1 year away from being on the hook for the Jets for $20 million on a fifth-year option or potentially more on an extension. If I'm the Jets, restart the clock. And I understand that you could acquire a ton of extra picks if you trade pick number two. You've already got a ton of extra picks. And all this cap space, you could draft Zach Wilson, sign a premium wide receiver in free agency. You've got three additional first round picks between this year and next. If I'm the Jets, I'm restarting the clock. I'm starting fresh. I have my quarterback to build around going forward. And it's the pick that Joe Douglas is responsible for.
All right, so we're 0 for 2. Ninko, what do you think?
So stability and confidence, those two factors, stability and confidence, help a football player. They actually make a football player. And if you don't have stability and confidence, then you're a shell of what you should be. And Sam Darnold has not had stability, and he's lost his confidence. And we saw that all in the NFL films where he say, I'm seeing ghosts out here. He hasn't had the head coaching. He hasn't had the coordinators. He hasn't had the confidence in himself. So I feel that if he does get that stability and he gets his confidence back, he could be a good quarterback. So I'm saying stay with Sam Darnold, build around him with the money that you have and your draft picks, and see what you got.
There we go. It took a former Patriot to make some sense in this conversation about the Jets. All right, we are just getting started as we roll along on this day on Get Up. Here's what's coming. Baker Mayfield, a very good year for the Browns, led them to the playoffs, but one of our crew says now is not the time to lock him up long term. We'll talk about it. Plus, speaking of long term, why I believe the Buccaneers can plan on Tom Brady for a lot longer than most people think. All that and more on the way as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, and we are back here on Get Up. And Chris Canty, take a look at this. This is Juju Smith-Schuster just taking body shots from a boxer named Ryan Garcia. What do you think of that?
I think that's impressive. But, I mean, listen, he's got to get prepared to take more shots like he did in that Bengals game in primetime late in the season. So I guess that's what he's gearing up for.
I can't begin to tell you how much that hurts. I've done that workout on numerous occasions, and it's extraordinarily painful.
Yeah, I don't understand why you're signing up to have somebody just take free shots at you. That's just me, though. I'd rather hit than be hit.
In case it wasn't obvious, I was kidding. All right, as we continue, he will be 44 when the 2021 season begins. We will tell you why we believe Tom Brady might be playing a lot longer than anybody thinks. That is on the way, and so is this. Sneaky Hembo time, and this one's for Candy. Baker Mayfield is one of 2 active quarterbacks to throw for at least 3,500 yards in each of his first 3 seasons. Who's the only other? That's the question. We'll see if he gets the answer. Next, it's Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back on Get Up. Here we go, Canty. The pressure's on you. Baker Mayfield is one of 2 active quarterbacks to throw for at least 3,500 yards each of his first 3 seasons. Who is the only other?
I'm not very confident about this one, G. I'm going to go with Dak Prescott, but I have a feeling that I'm going to be wrong on that one.
You are wrong. The answer is Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston.
That is sneaky. Very sneaky
Look
by Hembo.
Look at sneaky Hembo talking trash to you. I hope you pick him up and throw him in something. All right. Meanwhile, we are talking about Baker Mayfield today, and here's why. He made huge strides this past season, won his first playoff game. Now all the attention will be on whether or not he gets a contract extension. His head coach, Kevin Stefanski, was just on KJZ on ESPN Radio moments ago. Here's what he said.
I'm lucky in that I have a really good general manager that gets to worry about this. But I will tell you, I mean, obviously, Andrew and I talk about all of our players and all of these things. But I'll just tell you that all of these decisions, it's a business, but things take care of themselves. It works itself out. And we're just going to focus, or at least I'm going to focus on the day-to-day. And as it applies to Baker, I know he's going to do the same.
So he said that, and then this is not relevant, but it sure is interesting. Last night, Baker Mayfield tweeted the following. Almost 100% Em and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? He tweeted that 8 hours ago. Now, this probably has no bearing whatsoever on his contract negotiation situation, but it certainly seemed worthy of showing it to you. So, having said that, let me come to you, Field Yates. The Browns have an interesting decision to make, and there are a lot of situations going on in the NFL right now they're probably taking into consideration. What are those?
So, Greeny, let's paint the case for extending Baker Mayfield right now very briefly. One, if the player performs well during the extension, it's going to eventually become a team-friendly deal in a few years. Two, you avoid a Dak Prescott situation where you're going through frustrating, drawn-out negotiations with your quarterback and playing year to year. And I get those. But I think the Jared Goff and Carson Wentz trades that aren't even official yet but have been consummated are cautionary tales right now for the Cleveland Browns. Let me be clear. Baker Mayfield was outstanding last year. And I'm not saying he's not going to continue to be really good, but he has been more up and down than somebody like Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, who were no doubt about it extensions. If I'm the Browns, maybe I'm tapping the brakes right now, letting this play out one more year, which can be a benefit for not just the team, but Baker himself as well in the long term.
So let's be clear what we're saying here. 3 years into your career is the earliest a team can extend a contract. They're not obligated to. They can pick up the fifth-year option right, and control him for a minimum of two more years without even getting the franchise tag involved. Those are the options in front of them. Right now, Rob Ninkovich, are you ready, if you're the Browns, to sort of look at this like a relationship? Are you ready to marry Baker Mayfield and spend the rest of your lives together?
Got to pump the brakes. I need one more year. Just pump the brakes here on a long-term extension. There's a few things that I would like to see improve from Baker, and that's basically just drop back passing. And you look at play action pass and all those things that work together with the running game. Yes, he does great at moving the ball down the field with a great methodical running game and play action pass. But when they have to throw the ball and you know he's throwing the ball, he struggles a bit. He's bottom of the league when it comes to straight drop back passes. And when he throws the ball 30 to 40 times a game, it's not a good thing. So I would need to see a little bit more development in just purely the passing game, because if I'm going to pay you a lot of money, I want a quarterback that I can rely on and back passes and know he's going to put the ball where it needs to be.
All right, so we're 0 for 2 so far. Canty, how about you?
No, I'm agreeing with both of those guys. I'm not paying Baker Mayfield this offseason. He's not the quarterback in the 2018 draft class that's going to get an extension this summer. I think Baker Mayfield has to be more consistent. In the first 3 years for Baker, it's been too much of a roller coaster. And in the NFL, you want your quarterback to be a stabilizing force, and you also want him to be a force multiplier. What I mean by that is making everybody around you better, elevating the talent level around you. The Cleveland Browns have done a great job of being able to surround Baker with the talent, but we know once you pay that quarterback, you're going to start losing pieces. You're going to start losing some of your talent base, so your quarterback has to be able to elevate the play of the guys that are stepping in. Baker Mayfield hasn't shown me that he can consistently do that, and so that's the part that I'm looking for in terms of the evolution of his game.
To be clear, in that draft class, we're talking about Josh Allen in Buffalo. I assume you're ready to marry him.
Absolutely.
And Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and then you've got Darnold and Rosen, and that was that class. And how the UFO factors into all of this, I suppose, remains to be seen. In the meantime, let's talk about a quarterback about whom there are no questions, and that's Tom Brady. who joined Peyton Manning this past year as the only starting quarterbacks to win Super Bowls with multiple teams. He was on the Late Late Show with James Corden the other night, and he opened up about what went south in New England. I thought this was fascinating. Give a listen.
I think that when we were at that point, you know, at the Patriots, everyone at the start of the season would be like, well, who are you guys playing in the championship game?
Sure.
And I was, it always got to be like, you know, the expectations were so not unrealistic. It was just like people jumped ahead of all the intense competition, which in the end for us, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, it's a lot harder than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot harder than that.
I thought there was something very interesting and telling about that, and it reminded me of a conversation I had with Tom Brady's father on my radio show the day after the Super Bowl, when he offered, I think, fascinating insight into what it is that drives Brady to keep going. This is part of what he said.
He loves the dirty work. He loves the off-season workouts. He loves the diet. He loves the exercise. He loves the locker room. He loves the mentoring. So it's the process that is what drives him and motivates him.
That, I think, is fascinating because every football player I've ever known has said, if it was just about the games on Sundays, I would never have stopped playing. There's nothing more exciting than playing in the NFL. It is all the nitty-gritty that goes into it that is what eventually drives players away from the game. But Brady loves the nitty-gritty. So let me present this to you, Ninkovich, as his former teammate. If 5 years ago I had said, Tom Brady is going to keep playing five more years and still be at a high level, everyone would have called me crazy. So who's to say that he's that close to the end right now? If he loves the process and he's got everything going the way he does right now, who's to say that Brady doesn't have plenty of time left, at least that he views it that way? Ninko, you know him well. What do you think?
Don't bet against Tom, number one. And look, don't let all the interviews and Tom's nice smile fool you. The guy's got a little bit of crazy in him. I mean, he's playing at an excellent level, and his ability to be, he's probably the most disciplined player that I've ever been around. And to have that discipline, you got to be a little bit cuckoo, a little bit crazy. He's got it. We've seen it. You see it when he screams and yells at guys. He's got that edge. So I don't think 3 years is out of the question. I don't think that it's crazy to say that Tom is going to play past 45, especially after playing this season, playing healthy, looking the way that he looks, and loving the grind. He loves the grind. He loves doing everything that he does to prepare himself to play at a high level. So I would expect Tom to play at 46. That's what I'm thinking.
What do you think, Chris Canty? When did you first figure out just how tough this guy was?
Well, it was 2007 when I was a member of the Dallas Cowboys, and we were playing the Patriots, who were then undefeated, and they were previewing it. They were billing it as a Super Bowl preview. And I remember at one point in that game, our defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips, dials up a zero blitz, and I come scot-free, the offensive line parted like the Red Sea, and I've got a full head of steam, a clean run at Tom Brady, and I hit him about as hard as any player I've ever hit in my National Football League career. And I thought I knocked him out of the game. This is back before they had all of the quarterback protections, back when they had envelopes flying around if you knocked out one of the opposing players. And it was a situation where I thought I got him. And then one of my teammates tapped me on my shoulder pad and told me to turn around and take a look. And it was Matt Light helping Tom Brady get up on the turf. And it was at that moment that he had my ultimate respect. So when it comes to saying whether or not Tom Brady is washed up, I'm going to be the last one to that party because that dude is just different.
Right, Nico, you've seen it. I mean, again, playing with him, he's that kind of tough, which is necessary, and a little bit of crazy, which is necessary to play in the league at all, and he loves the grind. I'm telling you right now, whatever people are setting as the end of his career, take the over. That's my bet. Take the over. I don't think he's that close to done. Nico, you've seen it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm telling you, in practice, everything that he does, the way he prepares, after a game, flying back on the plane, he's not even enjoying himself. He's in the computer looking at the next opponent, preparing in his notes. He loves it. He loves the grind. And when you can embrace that and you love that, everything about it is fun. He loves practice. He loves competing. He loves 7-on-7. So everything that you combine all those things together, he's not ready to walk away. He just won a Super Bowl. He's not walking away. Uh-uh.
That note that Hembo just put up there is amazing. The Patriots were ready for it. They drafted his heir apparent in 2014. He has won 4 Super Bowls and played in 5 since then. Let's talk about another quarterback who was an all-time great. Up next, Aaron Rodgers. He had another MVP season. We'll tell you why the Packers are looking to help their legend repeat that sooner rather than later. Live to Green Bay we go next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Come on, get up. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We are back on Get Up. Jay Will has made his way across the hall. Game of the night last night, the moment of the night. James Harden back in Houston as a member of the Nets. Let's let you hear how it sounded as he was greeting the crowd.
And the other guy, 6'5 out of Arizona State, number 13, James Harden.
Sounds like more cheers than boos, yes. And they did a nice video tribute at the first time out, so all things considered, a nice moment there. And then James Harden does what James Harden does. He's been spectacular.
Well, look, I mean, they have Bruce Brown at the 5. Actually, I want to give a lot of credit to Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni with the system that they've implemented for this team. And look, James Harden can do it in a variety of different ways, Green.
He almost had a triple-double in the first half alone. Now here he is in the second half. This is sort of the patented 3. Then he's going to knock another one down with a hand in the face.
I mean, he probably want to switch on a high pick and roll, and he probably want to funnel him to the basket as well.
29 points, 14 assists, 10 rebounds, and an easy win for James Harden upon his return. He's got greetings for everybody, and then a nice moment. He's got some shoes for some kids in the stands. All in all, a success for Harden's return to Houston. Here he was after the game.
Hopefully I did something right. Obviously, I came up short of a championship, but the work on and off the court that I put in over those past 8 years, you know, was elite, you know, and I obviously, I think that's the only thing that I didn't do or didn't accomplish is the championship, which is difficult to obtain.
All right, and as I mentioned, Jay Williams is here with us. So, again, we see these superstars going back to the places they forced their way out of from time to time. How did you feel it was handled last night?
Oh, I thought he was a professional, and I actually thought that Tillman Fertitta, the owner, by announcing that they were going to retire his jersey at some juncture of the season, was an olive branch. It was, hey, look, I am sorry. I am sorry. We didn't handle this properly by hiring a new coach, by letting go of your GM that got you here. I know you probably didn't handle it in the most professional manner that you could have handled it. But by me announcing that we're going to retire your jersey, we want to make amends. I want you to feel comfortable here. We'll do a tribute video. We'll do whatever the hell you need us to do in order to make you feel comfortable in case you ever want to come back.
In the meantime, right now he's not thinking of going anywhere because I know there were 3 letters you're ready to attach to his name
MVP.
Right now.
MVP. As of right now, and I know Joel Embiid had an incredible game last night, but they've been doing this without Kevin Durant. And they're a game and a half behind the Philadelphia 76ers. He is number 1 on my list right now. With the way he's playing triple-doubles, leading the league in assists, it's really him and Kyrie have been so unique. Everybody wondered, how could they do it together, Greeny? Well, look, I told you. He's going to be on the ball. Kyrie's going to score. When this team is at their complete health, they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Joel Embiid is making a lot of headway. Don't get me wrong. 50 points against the Bulls, 40 points last night, and 19 rebounds against the Utah Jazz. But as of right now, James Harden number 1, Joel Embiid number 2, LeBron James number 3.
And again, they will get KD back, and we would assume if those guys are healthy and at full strength on one side and the Lakers are at full strength and healthy on the other side, this seems to be a collision course that we're looking at here. How would you see that? Which team do you like right now for the championship?
If they're fully healthy?
Yeah.
Fully healthy, I'm still going to take the Lakers. But I will tell you, I said it at the beginning of the year. People blew their mind. This is the best scoring trio in the history of the game, Greeny. The game has never seen. I will compare them to Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, and Klay Thompson. These guys are all wizards with the ball. And KD doesn't need the ball because he doesn't need to dance with it. He can be efficient with the way he plays.
Why would anyone lose their mind over that? I think it's a fairly simple, obvious statement. In fact, Kevin Durant might be the greatest scorer of all time. James Harden puts up numbers we haven't seen since Wilt Chamberlain. And Kyrie Irving can score with absolutely anyone.
Because people conflate best scoring trio of all time with best team of all time, potentially. I don't know if they have to win championships to be the best team of all time. Golden State has proven that they have won championships. That's why we put them in that category. But this team has the potential and the ceiling to be one of those teams.
Yeah, we haven't seen Durant in quite some time. Won't see him till after the All-Star break. You will hear Jay Will every morning, the Jay of KJZ on ESPN Radio. Thank you, my man. Great to see you as always. Meanwhile, we got college basketball coming up tonight. Two big rivalry games on ESPN. You got number 2 Michigan hosting Michigan State. That's 7 Eastern. Then another Red River showdown between Texas and Oklahoma. Both games have major tournament implications, and they're coming your way tonight on ESPN. All right, back to the NFL, and on the clock at number 29 in this year's draft will be the Green Bay Packers, who are coming off, of course, a loss to the Bucs in the NFC Championship. And at 37, Rodgers is coming off, Aaron Rodgers, one of his best statistical seasons ever, including his third MVP award. And so I want to bring in our Packers reporter, Rob Domofsky, live with us from Green Bay. And let's talk about that. There's been so much talk about the help that they need to get for Aaron Rodgers. How do they plan to add help for him over the next 2 months?
Well, Greeny, right now they're not in a position to do that because of their salary cap situation. So what are they going to do before free agency? Well, they're going to have to shed some more veteran contracts, and they're going to have to do some restructuring, including Rodgers' contract itself, which will help them in a salary cap situation and possibly give Rodgers the assurances that he needs that he's their guy more than just year to year. But general manager Brian Gutekunst told us this week, Greeny, that he does think they will be able to make a move or two in free agency. It won't be a ton, but he will be able to do something. And one guy to keep an eye on is Will Fuller, the Texans receiver. Remember back in October, November, they tried to trade for him before the deadline. Well, Fuller is a free agent now. Don't be surprised if they try to do that in free agency before we get to the draft.
That's a really interesting one. I remember the possibility of it last year. He had the suspension and everything else, but he's got as much speed and big playability as just about anybody. And then, of course, there is the draft. What are you starting to hear about their draft strategy, again, sitting there late in the first round?
Well, late in the first round is the key, Greeny, because one thing that we know about Gutekunst, this will be his fourth draft. The previous 3 drafts, he's traded within the first round all 3 times. Of course, the most memorable one last year, trading up to pick Jordan Love. But don't be surprised if he tries to move up from 29. How high can they get? Well, that remains to be seen. But as for positions, look, we talked all last year about whether they would finally draft a receiver in the first round. They haven't done it here in Green Bay since 2002. Doesn't look likely that they will do it again. The reason they lost that NFC Championship game to Tampa was because they had trouble on the offensive line. They had trouble at cornerback. Those would be the 2 positions that I would think would be better fits for the Packers than, say, a receiver.
And the run defense was a weakness for a lot of last season as well. Rob Domofsky, outstanding. Always the great insight for us from Green Bay Live here. Thank you very much. I want to bring Field and Inco back into the conversation if I can. And so, Field, let's start thinking about that. What do you believe the Packers should be thinking about as Aaron Rodgers at 37 tries to get back to another Super Bowl?
Moves that help them win now, Greeny. And the Packers have had a ton of success over the past 30 years by being a team that's been true to its board, drafting for value, keeping the bigger picture in mind. They need to understand their window with Aaron Rodgers, the MVP of last year, may not be that large anymore. Maybe it's 3 more years. And if the Packers go the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' career and they win just 1 Super Bowl, you tell me whether that's defined as a smash success or not. Last year, they draft a quarterback in the first round and a running back in the second round when they already had Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the fold. Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon are going to be good players. This offseason, my mindset is, I want to do whatever I can to maximize 2021. That may be different from organizational philosophy, but you don't have forever with Aaron Rodgers as your signal caller. Now is the time to pounce.
I'm with you. I mean, it's very difficult to win if you're going to have one eye on the present and one eye on the future, and the future is now when your quarterback is 37 years old. Ninko, what do you think?
Yeah, they got to win now. You got to get to a Super Bowl. You got to get back to that championship game, and you can't do it trying to think about 3 to 4 years in the future. So if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm going up to the front office or whoever's making all the decisions and saying, look, I don't have many bites left of the apple. I need to get back to a Super Bowl. Let's go. Let's get some key players back. Let's make this team the number one team in the NFC because you got the number one quarterback. And let's get everybody on board. Let's address some issues defensively. Let's shore up the depth at the offensive line so we don't have an issue if our starter goes down in the playoffs and now I'm getting hit every play. So they got to figure it out and fast because they only have a small window to win a Super Bowl championship.
Correct. And to illustrate the point that Field just made a moment ago, they traded for Brett Favre in 1992. They have had first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback play basically every year for 30 right. years. And they've won two Super Bowls and made three in that time. That could be described as sort of organizational underachievement. Let's see how that winds up turning out. Meanwhile, we've got UFC action coming your way on Saturday. It's UFC 259, a stacked card. Three titles on the line. Prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. The main card begins 10 Eastern. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, as we continue, we have already seen some huge names change addresses this offseason. You'll hear why many feel the next couple of weeks will be flat out crazy. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.